Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Is it just me, or does the worst of people come out during election season? This is a time when many people seem to go by the adage, the end justifies the means. The end justifies the means. People get pretty dirty during election season, during counting the votes, what they will do to get their candidate elected, and what the candidates themselves will do to get themselves elected is sometimes extremely dirty. What the press will do in order to get a candidate elected can be very dirty. I'm going to be discussing some of these stories. I'm going to be sharing with you how there can be voter fraud, ballot tampering, people who are candidates who maybe should not be candidates, how the press suppresses the news about the candidates that they favor. I think it's going to be a very interesting show. If you have any stories, any firsthand accounts, feel free to call in. It's just you and me today on the air. Moi, me, and you. Our numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com at the top of the page. And you can also join me in the chat room. I hope that you will. It's always fun to be in the chat room with me because then I can see my audience. Well, I can see some of my audience. And I can be able to see what you're saying when I have time to look in there. And you'll be able to see what other people are saying who are in the chat room. It's an interesting topic, voter fraud and what happens during elections. Sadly, the dirtiness of it. And I would really like to hear from you if you have anything to contribute. But I will be sharing with you some stories. And sadly, this is going on in Israel right now. And I'll read you what has gone on in Israel before as well. I want to say hi to everybody who's listening in from all over the world, from all over the United States, Israel, Australia, Canada, the Netherlands, Denmark, and other places as well. Oh, that would be interesting to hear voting stories from other countries as well. All right, we'll be right back.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Does the end justify the means? This is election season that Israel is in. The United States as well is starting to go into that speed warp soon as people are starting to declare they're running for the president of the United States. And we're seeing a lot of corruption and fraud. And sadly, this is the time when it rears its ugly head. And I'm going to be sharing with you on the show today some of the voter fraud that's taken place in Israel, how elections work here, and also some other stories. Now, before I start with all the icky stuff, let me just start with some positive things, and that is that In the news lately, and I want to just give a hat tip to Motik, who sent me an email. She wanted me to mention that there's going to be a run for Ari. Now, anybody who doesn't know Ari Fuld, obviously, tisk, 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 you have not been listening to Israel News Talk Radio. Ari Fuld was a show host here, a cherished show host here at Israel News Talk Radio, until he was brutally killed last September. In a terror attack. He was stabbed in the back by an Arab terrorist, and he courageously and superhumanly chased after the terrorist and cut him down. He shot him before he could kill other people. He was a real hero, Ari Fuld, and they're having a run for Ari to commemorate terror victims and heroes. This is a marathon that they're having. You can go to, I think it's Stand With Israel, that you can get more information on that. And also, there was a very happy occasion in that Ari's daughter, Tamar, I believe her name was Tamar, got married just this week. So a happy occasion to see the family of Ari Fuld happy at a happy occasion, and sad for me when I see the pictures to see that Ari wasn't able to be there. But life goes on and happy occasions occur, and we should be happy when they happen. You know, they say the best way to honor someone who died is to live a good life. They would not want us to sit and moan and mourn and not be able to function and not to be able to do anything because they passed. They would want to see that they inspired us, and that whatever they tried to bring to the world, whatever they tried to teach us, we carried on. I'm sorry, I did not think I was going to get emotional during this time, but excuse me to being an older woman who cries at weddings and cries at everything. We should take inspiration from Ari Fuld. All right, let's go now to the dirty stuff. It's easier for me to talk about dirty stuff than to think about these sad things and happy things. I cried happy things too. All right, so does the end justify the means? Let me talk about voter fraud and how it's done. When you go to vote in Israel, the way that we vote is different than it is in the United States. We don't have chads and we don't have automated. I don't know how you do it over there. I haven't voted in American elections, whatever. But it's usually a local place where you go and you stand in line, and you usually the voting is places at schools, other places like that. And a lot of times you see your neighbors and you're talking. And of course, you're seeing all the people who are trying to campaign for the different parties. You'll see signs everywhere. Vote Likud, vote this, vote that. And as you go into the school or into the building, there'll be some rooms there where they will tell you if your last name starts with this or whatever. They'll tell you which room you're supposed to go to vote in. This is in order to make it speed things up, right? Not everybody has to go to one room, but they have different rooms and that's how they do it. And you go in, and when you walk in, you're going to see a voting booth that's usually made from cardboard because it's something that they can just fold and put up there, and then it shields you on three sides. And they have all the notes, the petekim, the little pieces of paper that's in a box, that's in like a box with different boxes in it. And you can choose the paper that you want and you put it into the envelope. But before you can get to that voting booth, you will walk into a room and you will usually see a very long table. And you will see people sitting behind that table. There'll be maybe, I don't know, at least four people, if not six, maybe even more, maybe eight. And they will be, the people who are there will not be people that you know, most likely. They are going to be representatives from different political parties. Now, when you're in line waiting to get into the room, you're usually yapping and talking because they're usually your neighbors. Because, again, this is a local thing. So everybody's coming who lives in your area, and then you bump into them. So you're talking, but now you're going and you're going up to the table, excuse me, and you're going to hand them what's called your Teudat Zehut, which is your identity card. It has your picture on it. It has a number that you're given by the state of Israel, and they will look at your name and they will look at your picture to see that it looks like you. And then they will go and they have these huge lists on paper. It's not computerized. It's on paper. And they go and they have a ruler so they can make a straight line when they pass a line through your name to show that you have voted. And this is how you don't vote twice. After that, they take your Teudat Zehut, they hold it, and they give you an envelope. You take that envelope and you go behind the little cardboard partition booth. And you will see, again, as I said, all of the different notes or pieces of paper that have the list. Each paper has a list of the political party that you want to vote for. So there may be, well, I guess in this election, there'll be 47 of them because there are 47 political parties, believe it or not, running for the Knesset. That's a lot of paper. Oh, all those trees that have to die. Okay, we really should update our voting. In any case, you take, you look in there and you take, you look for your party. Your party will have initials. They'll usually, they'll be in Hebrew, and you have to remember what your party's initials are because it won't say Likud. It might say Machal. Okay, that might have all these different little cutesy nicknames for them or abbreviations for them. And you have to find the one that you want. You put it into the envelope. You go back. You seal the envelope. And when you go out, there will be a huge box that's usually made from cardboard. And you will slip your envelope that's sealed with the piece of paper of your party's name on it. And you slip it in there. And then you go back and you get your Teudat Zehut or your identity card. And then you're done. You can leave. That's how the voting is done. But there is an easy way to be able to cheat in voting and in voting fraud. One of the ways, and I have been a witness to this myself. I went through it myself. I went into the voting booth looking for my party that I wanted to vote for. And guess what? There were no papers with my party's name on it. Now, either they had finished, people used them up already, it was a very popular party or not, or maybe just popular in my area, etc. I mean, I don't think that the Arabs, the left-wing communist-type Arabs are going to get many votes in my area. I highly doubt it, okay? So there will be a lot of those papers left, but I went to go take my paper, nowhere to be seen. So I had to call over one of the election people in order to restock the party that's missing all the papers, the ballots there. Now, again, it could be that they were used up. It could be that somebody took them because when I'm in there, and let's say that I'm a dirty, terrible person and I say the end justifies the means, I could go in and take all of the opposing parties that I don't like and shove them in my coat pocket. Nobody can see me. And walk out, and there'll be no papers left there. Now, basically, you would think that a person might say, well, they'll know to call the person that there isn't. But some people are very, very primitive. I won't say primitive, but they're naive, and they'll think, I guess I can't vote for my party. And they don't vote for their party. They'll vote for the second party that they wanted. Or they have white pieces of paper in there where you can write your party in, the name there. But many times, if you don't write it correctly, they can't see it. It's a lost vote. Excuse me. So this is basically how voting is done in Israel. It's very easy to cheat. And I'm going to tell you, when we get back from the break, how easy it is to cheat with the people behind the tables as the polls close and they are counting the votes, how they can cheat there. Remember, I said that the people who are sitting behind the table are representatives. We might have an Arab person coming there, a left winger from Meretz party, from all sorts of different parties. I haven't had my coffee yet. I'm sorry. And they will come in and they will make sure they're there as checks and balances in order to make sure that, let's say, the Likud wants to make sure that the left isn't cheating. The left wants to make sure that the Likud isn't cheating. And so they have different representatives there in order to be able to watch each other to make sure that the votes are being counted where everybody can see them out in the open. They open up the envelopes, they take out the note, the petek, and they will count those votes. But it's still easy to be able to cheat there. I'm going to be able to tell you why after we get back from the break. Very interesting. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to join me on the air and share any stories that you know that happened to you about voter fraud or election cheating. I'd be interested to hear it. In the meantime, also, go to my Facebook page, my public page, and look at some two videos I have there about election fraud. Amazing.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we're back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm sharing some information with you on how voting works here in Israel and how there can easily be voter fraud and the checks and balances that we have. But even though we have checks and balances, we have people from other parties who are together in the same room who are counting the votes. I'm going to share with you a story of how one, how easy it is to be defrauded, to count votes and cheat on that. And I'm talking about how elections can be dirty. Again, there can be one thing I'm going to talk about in a second. It's called stuffing the boxes. That is that when somebody is not looking and another party member thinks that they can get away with it, they may have lots of envelopes that were smuggled in with papers in them with a certain political party. And then they shove it into the boxes when the other people are not looking. And then when they count the votes, those votes were in the box. There's also stealing the notes or the ballots in the voting booth, as I was talking about before as well. They take out the papers with your party name on it. What they have also done in the past, by the way, is they, let's say you're going to vote for the Likud or you're going to vote for blue and white, whatever it is. You're going to vote for Meretz. It doesn't matter. And they don't want your party to win. So what they will do is they will take out all of those papers secretly, and instead they will walk into that voting booth with new papers that have your party's name on it, but not exactly the same way it's supposed to be. Like for the Likud, it should have said Machal on it, but instead it said Bibi. So somebody who didn't remember, isn't paying attention, they just see that, oh yeah, I'm voting for Bibi. And they don't see the Machal papers, but they see papers there, ballots for Bibi. They might take that. They put it in the envelope. They put it into the voting box. When that vote is counted, it's not counted. They open it up and they say, invalid. There's no such party as Bibi. And then you've lost your vote. That's another way. So that's basically making forged ballots that look similar to the real one. And I want to read to you from an article now. Let me just find it. That was on Arutz 7 talking about, here, an insider tells all on voter fraud. You can go to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com and find that article. An insider tells all on voter fraud. Very interesting. And he says here, this is from 2015, by the way. This is from the last elections that we had from 2015. And he says here, who wrote this? This is by Shimon Cohen and Tova Dvorin, who wrote this article. Multiple incidents of voter fraud were reported during Elections Day last week. And again, this is from 2015, including several arrests in Arab communities, because that's where a lot of voter fraud takes place, in the Arab communities. Aruchava spoke to Yisrael Zelkovitz, a volunteer who served as a member of a volunteer task force funded by the Samaria Residents Committee at polling stations, tasked with uncovering and preventing voter fraud, to find out more about what really happened on Elections Day. The project was funded with Likud, the Jewish Home, and the Israel Beiteinu, that's Avigdor Lieberman's party, and their support. Zelkovitz stated that he did see incidents of voter fraud, and even caught some suspicious activity on tape, including buying votes and extortion. During the day, there were several attempts to cheat, but they were little things like adding second ballots to envelopes for the United Arab List and the addition of joint list ballots to other ballot slip cells. By the way, these are all Arab parties. I'm talking about the joint list of Arab parties. These small things I remedied to the best of my ability, he says. Zelkovitz noted that at first people did not question what a religious Jew was doing at an Arab community's ballot-taking panel. A wide range of volunteers from all of the different sectors can typically be seen monitoring polling stations. When he was asked why he was there, he simply replied that the money was good. In other words, it was a job, he was being paid. However, and by the way, that's legitimate. People will pay their representatives to go to different polling stations and make sure that everything is kosher and that it's absolutely lawful, and it's actually a very good thing. It's checks and balances. However, he did fear losing his focus at the risk of tainting the elections. He says, quote, "I didn't even want to use the bathroom for fear that if I left the polling station there, someone would stuff the ballot box," he said. Later in the day, he caught a major incident as he was recording some footage of the voting process for archive and review purposes. He says, quote, "A member from the polling committee approached me and said, 'I'm missing 20 to 30 votes here. Let me put them in and look away,'" he recounted. He's telling him to look away. Zelkovitz refused, but the fraudster persisted, and he said, "Let's take a ride. I'll get you something to eat. Then I'll take 20 to 30 votes and you can too," he continued, adding that the fraudster had assumed he'd simply take extra votes for the Jewish Home Party, that's probably who he was sent by, and stuff the ballot box with them. "If I hadn't been there," Zelkovitz said, "they would have stuffed 200 to 300 votes in there, not 20 to 30. So he says, he concluded, adding that he believes the few votes were only a ruse. The few votes meaning 20 to 30 that the guy originally said. He said that during the day, the cheating attempts were relatively minor because the police were present outside the polling station. That's where people are standing in line before they go in the building. And the Likud youth groups were also helping out with the patrols. The relationship during most of the day was fine, he says, emphasizing that the attempt to make the most dramatic move was when the pollsters, all Israeli Arabs, were counting votes with him in a locked room. In addition, 5 to 6 locals tried to vote under false ID, not even hiding what they were doing. The scope of the fraud proves the point of the monitoring, Zelkovitz noted, adding hopes that the next election, which we're at now, will see a reduction in fraud after Arabs know that there will be monitors at polls. All right, so here he's talking about a lot of fraud and corruption going on at the Arab sector polls where Arabs are voting, wanting to get their candidates in. By the way, a lot of Jews are intimidated to go to the Arab polling stations. You're surrounded by Arabs. People are very motivated. People are very passionate. People could be very hot-tempered. It could be a very dangerous situation. So that's something there. There's also the idea of delegitimization in election season. That's where one party or one side tries to delegitimize the other one. And we're seeing this, of course, with when just a couple of weeks ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu urged the right wing to come together under one roof and form a united bloc so that when he might be elected, he would be able to have more people on the right wing in the Knesset to be able to build a coalition with and get at least 61 seats out of the 120. And in order to do this, he had to urge the right wing to get together in a bloc. Why? Why did he have to do that? Because there are a lot of little right wing parties, and you have to have a certain amount of votes in order to pass the threshold to be able to be elected to the Knesset. So let's say if you need 100,000 votes, that's not the exact number, but if let's say you need 100,000 votes in order to be able to get elected into the Knesset, maybe a party, one of the parties will get 90,000 votes and another small party will get 80,000 votes and another small party will get 10,000 or 20,000 votes. That's already 200,000 votes, but they would be lost. Those votes would be lost because they didn't pass the threshold. And so he said, if you come together under one block, then everybody who's voting for the different parties, but under that one umbrella, it will for sure almost pass the threshold and you will get in. And instead of getting here's one person writing. Instead of getting, let's say, one seat for one party and two seats for another party, which would only be three seats, and those would be lost because they wouldn't pass the threshold, because I think you need at least three seats to get in, then those votes go to the garbage can. So if they come together, they will make up a strong right wing. They'll maybe even get six, seven, eight seats if they bind together. So this is a very, very important thing to make these blocks. And that is, by the way, what the left just did with Yair Lapid's party called Yesh Atid, and with Benny Gantz running with his Israel Resilience Party. They knew that they would not be able to topple Bibi, and their main agenda, their main platform on the left is just not Bibi. Not so much policy, but just get Bibi out of office. That's all they want to do. Get him out of office. And then they want to go and to the past formulas of land for peace, giving away more land to the Arabs, making a Palestinian state, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Crazy stuff that hasn't worked, that has only brought us bloodshed and tragedy. That's what they want to go to. That's my opinion. You might differ in your opinion. Feel free to call in and argue with me on the air. I'm open to hearing everybody's point of view. All right. So when we get back, I'm going to read to you more about Israeli elections, about how people delegitimize other politicians, other parties. And I think it's a very interesting thing and something that we need to be equipped with when we're going to the polls, when we make a decision who we are going to vote for. So again, if you have any comments or questions, any stories you want to share, feel free to join me on the air. Our numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com at the top of the page. And also, join me in the chat room. It's the orange button on our player or on our website.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
We live in the age of information, but not inspiration. If you're like me, you're looking to be inspired, to reach higher, to connect more, and to grow. Well, if you want to get warm, you need to stand close to the fire. And if you want to catch fire, you need to stand close enough to get hit by the sparks. Join me, Penina Taylor, as we walk with people who have embarked on a spiritual journey towards Torah. We'll uncover what started them on their journey and what truths they discovered along the way. So prepare to be inspired as we take a leap of faith every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we are talking about voter fraud, election tampering, how the end justifies the means in many people's minds when it comes to elections. They will do anything to get the vote. They will do anything. They will lie. They will cheat. They will have people stuff ballots, take out ballots, et cetera, et cetera. And if you have any stories or comments or questions that you want to share on the air, feel free to do so. Our numbers are on our homepage. Let's go now to Shoshana from the Pacific Northwest. Shalom, Shoshana.
Shalom, Tamar. Such an interesting program. It seems to me that Israel is such a high-tech country and has the most strangest, most primitive-sounding election process.
You mean by taking a piece of paper and putting it into an envelope and putting it in a box?
Yeah, right. What's going on?
What has been the best proof? You're in the United States. What, in your experience of your voting throughout the years, what has been the best way to vote, the best system?
Oh, I get my ballots in the mail. Boom, simple as that. Check out what I want to do. Boom, it goes into the League of Women Voters.
And how do you know that your vote's being counted? How do you know that, A, your vote arrived, B, that it was really counted, that somebody, that there were checks and balances there?
Easy. I keep my fingers crossed.
Ah, okay. That is more sophisticated than Israel's. All right.
Point well made, darling.
But you know what? I have to say that I imagine that there could be a better system. I'm open to hearing it. And it's hard to get things changed in the country. There's a lot of bureaucracy, et cetera, et cetera. But things do change, and things can be changed. And if anyone comes up with a better idea, I'm open to hearing it. Shoshana, I want to thank you for calling in. Go ahead. What?
I have another question.
Yes.
So if you're in the Benjamin region, for example, you're voting, you and the Arabs are voting in the same booth, sort of the same area, the same place.
So in order to make it easy for people to be able to vote, there's many, many stations all around Israel, and we have in our community, so there are probably no Arabs coming to vote in our area, but the Arabs want to be in their villages, right? So we have polling stations or voting stations in their villages and communities. So every community, there's a place to vote.
Okay, so my next question is, who's guarding the Arabs?
Okay, very good question. So sometimes, as I read in this last article, there are police there sometimes to make sure that there's no voting fraud going on there or threats or anything like that. And or if other parties are concerned, they might send their delegates there, people to go there to also try to make sure that no voter fraud's taking place.
But a lot of places I know say no Jews allowed. I mean, there's signs I see all over that in the villages, the Arab areas, Jews aren't allowed in.
So those Arab areas, I don't believe that those Arabs are even allowed to vote. So there would be no voting polls there in any case. They're not citizens of Israel.
It's a very interesting program. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you, Shoshana. Thank you. You're the best. All right. So I love getting calls from you all. Thank you. Thanks to Shoshana. I want to read some more here as well to give you as much information as I can. Again, we're talking about racism and delegitimization of the opposite or of different candidates and parties. And in Israel, as I said, a lot of people were screaming because they do not want to see a strong right wing. They were screaming that, oh, you're taking in the Otzma Yehudit, which means Jewish power, and that's basically people who follow the ideas of Rabbi Meir Kahana. And the ideas of Rabbi Meir Kahana are basically based on Torah. So anybody who calls it racist is quite shocking in my head, but let me run through this as fast as possible. There are 47 different political parties. I'm reading from an article in the middle of an article from Arutz 7, IsraelNationalNews.com. The left's hypocritical virtue, signaling over the Otzma Yehudit. deal. That's the title of it. And it says here, there are 47 political slates running for the Knesset in the April 9th election. To keep some control on the insanity of narcissists who run slates with no chance to get elected, remember 47 parties, Israel has a rule that no party can enter the Knesset unless it obtains at least 3.25% of the total votes that are cast. Because the Knesset is comprised of 120 seats, any party that does not meet that threshold stands in most cases to enter with 4 seats or more. That means that a party that wins enough votes for 3 seats, that is 1/40th of the 120 seat Knesset, or approximately 2.5% of the vote, does not get in. All 3 seats, it seemed to earn, thus are lost and wasted. All those votes are thrown into the trash and do not count. And I explained that to you just before in the show. With the Israeli media conducting regular survey polling, it became clear that the Jewish Home Party might attract 3% of the vote, maybe more and maybe not. Although the tally represents 3 or 4 seats in the polls, all those votes would be wasted and lost if the tally fell a bit short of 3.25%. Otzma, this is Kahana's party, was polling at more than 2% too, standing to win enough votes for 2 or 3 seats, but also standing ultimately to waste all of them because they might fall short of the 3.25%. But together, with the Jewish Home and Otzma, they could attract more than 6% of the vote. That is 7 or 8 seats. That's pretty good. By contrast, if they run separately, all those 7 or 8 seats could be lost to the paper shredder. So you see how important it is to make a block, and that's why the left wing made a block also in order to try to oust Bibi. I'm skipping through the article, and says here, the screaming and yelling by the critics of the Bayud National Union deal with Otzma, with Kahana's group, is not about Otzma, not about the party, he writes. In its American iteration, it is coming from secular Jewish Democrat Obama liberals in the United States who are tired of seeing that the people of Israel prefer a religious nationalist direction. That's what he's stating here. The intermarriage rate in America among non-Orthodox Jews now is at 71%. Their children, including the children of the leaders of the secular American Jewish groups, are intermarrying and disappearing. More than half of all Reform Jewish households now are intermarried. They are Obama Democrats, are not primarily focused on Jewish destiny, and they hate seeing a prime minister of Israel who is a strong enough Jew that he would address the U.S. Congress directly and fight the disastrous Iran deal despite the ire of Obama. But Obama has passed like withering grass and a passing breeze. That speech by Prime Minister Netanyahu may not have won that day, but Bibi planted the seeds that took root and blossomed as America soon after rejecting Obama's course and elected a new government that indeed promptly abandoned the Iran deal, even as it moved the American Israel embassy to Jerusalem and changed history by recognizing Jerusalem as its capital. So here he's saying that Bibi is strong and the left-wing liberal American Jews, who are largely not religious or anti-religious even perhaps, are incensed about this. They don't like Bibi. They don't like a strong nationalist religious government here, and they want to see the progressivism spread to Israel. I want to continue also with the 2 minutes I have left here to read a continuation from the article I read yesterday called "Both Rav Kahana and President Trump." Called "No, Rabbi Kahana was not a racist," because this is important that you understand the delegitimization. I still have not had my coffee this morning. And the racism that they like to hurl at people and at parties in order to make people afraid to vote for them. He writes here, both Rabbi Kahana and President Trump have been accused of being racist. In the case of Rabbi Kahana, critics point to his calls to drive the Arabs out of Israel. As for the president, critics point to his statement that there were good people on both sides of the Charlottesville debacle and his strong stance against illegal aliens. But these proofs are bogus, he writes. Rabbi Kahana did not hate Arabs, nor did he wish them to be treated with anything less than full civility as long as they left Israel. He was going to pay them for their homes and compensate them and have them live a nice life someplace else in a country that they did love. And because if they hate it here in Israel, let them go to a place that they love and we'll even pay them. He argued that no self-respecting Arab would ever sing the Hatikva, Israel's national anthem, because it says it's a Jewish homeland and we've been waiting for 2,000 years for the Jews to come home. How can an Arab relate to that? And they could not salute the Israeli flag with full-hearted loyalty to Israel. He argued that Arabs genuinely believe we stole their land, and far too many of them would like to push us into the sea, or at the very least, use their growing birth rate to democratically vote the state of Israel out of existence under democracy. Living where I do, he says, in the 70% and growing Arab Galilee, because the Galilee is mostly 70% Arab in Israel, I can testify, he says, that this issue is real. The crucial bottom line, however, is that Rabbi Kahana's argument is based on practicality and history, not racism. All right. Thank you for being with us. That's all the time I have.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.